Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. In our verse by verse study through the first epistle of John, we are coming now to another soul searching text. There really are quite a few of those in this epistle, but we are specifically focusing now on verse 16 of chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 begins with a declaration of the Father's love. You may recall that, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." This is followed in the next several verses by a discussion of sin, and tells us that habitual, unrepentant practice of sin is incompatible with salvation. And then it next moves back to the subject of love once again in verses 10 through 18, which is a further development of the opening verse of the chapter on the Father's love. Again, "Behold what love the Father has bestowed upon us." And we learn in these verses that love characterizes God's children, whereas hatred is a mark of the unconverted. And it comes to the end of this discussion, therefore, by concluding that the exhortation to manifest love is an exhortation to show love with deeds, not mere words. And in verse 16, we have both an example of love and the obligations of love. An example of love and the obligations of love. Verse 16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Well, there you have it, and we'll look at it a little more closely as we open our Bibles to this place in 1 John chapter 3 and gather together around the radio microphone on this Wednesday, July 11, and are able to do so because of the financial support of radio listeners just like yourself. Okay, first of all, the supreme example of love. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We know love by this. This is a special kind of love. The Greek text literally says, "We know the love." We know the love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And that's a rather strange way to put it, and not a normal way of doing so in our regular conversation as English-speaking Americans. But when you use a definite article like this, you realize that you're not just talking about love as a general subject, but you're talking about a particular kind of love. We know the love by this. We could say the love of God, going back to verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." But this is a special kind of love. It could also be translated this. We know this love by this in this manner, that he laid down his life for us. And so what we have here is an example introduced. We know the love by this, that he laid down his life for us. In other words, we know that God has loved us not because God communicated his love by words alone, but because he showed us by deeds. God didn't communicate love by words alone, and neither should God's people communicate love by words alone, which is why this whole section concludes in verse 18 by saying, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You get the idea? Some people feel like they have fulfilled the obligation to love by simply expressing love. Well, I don't disagree that it's important to express it. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we are expressing it sincerely and are not using it to avoid proper actions, not using it to manipulate people's affections. Expressions of love can, of course, be misused, but sincere expressions of love are wonderful as far as they go. But we need deeds to back them up. I'm not saying that we should only use deeds and not use words, but I'm saying words alone are not enough because that's exactly what this text is showing us. I'm reminded about the old farm couple getting along in years, and one day the wife said, "Ralph, you never say that you love me. Haven't done that for a long time." And he said, "Esther, don't you remember when we got married, I told you that I loved you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." Well, that's the attitude that some married people have, and I would strongly urge you not to fall into a habit like that. I'm afraid a lot of people do that. I would encourage you who are married, I would encourage you to deliberately express love to your spouse every day, and really more often than once a day, if at all possible. Whenever you meet, you can express your love. Whenever you part, you can express your love. You say, isn't that overdoing it a bit? I don't think so. And I didn't learn this quickly or easily. It's taken me a while to learn this, but I have found that it is a wonderful pattern to cultivate. It's a wonderful habit to incorporate into my relationship with my wife, and we have been married now for, let's see, I have to figure it out. We have been married now for 48 years, and I still express my love to her every day and often more often than once in a day. But if I only said it and never demonstrated it with any kind of corresponding action, after a while that would be pretty thin. Honey, you say that you love me, but you're certainly not acting like it. Well, God didn't do that. We know the love of God, the special love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And here is a well-known example. We know this, John says. He's talking to people who did know that. They knew that already. He's not telling them something new. He's telling them something that they know very well. We know this. We Christians. All Christians know this. How can you be a Christian and not know about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, and that God gave his Son, and the Son is God come in the flesh, and therefore, yes, it is true that we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We know that. We can't even be a Christian without knowing that. What have we believed? What have we embraced? What is the gospel? What is the object of our faith, if not the message of Christ dying on the cross for sinners and this wonderful demonstration of the love of God? It's the very heart of the gospel. And we must know that in order to become a Christian. And we certainly know that if we are Christians. We know that. This is a knowledge that has been acquired by understanding the gospel and believing it. It is a knowledge that has been deepened and reinforced by our thinking about it, meditating upon this wonderful truth. Yes, we know the love, the special love, the Christian love, the divine love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And so the example is introduced by that phrase, we know love by this, and the example is declared by the phrase that he laid down his life for us. He, he. The Greek could more literally be translated, that one. He laid down his life for us. And it is referring to Jesus Christ. You just have to work your way backward into the text until you'll find a reference to Christ, and we will know that that is who he is speaking about. Christ laid down his life for us. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth that is. He laid down his life. Once in a while, you will hear someone talking about the death of Christ in terms of martyrdom. Well, martyrs don't lay down their lives. Martyrs are killed. Martyrs have their lives taken from them by another. Now, it may very well be that a martyr prefers to have his life taken from him rather than to deny the faith. And in that sense, we could say he gave his life, he laid down his life, but in actual fact, he didn't lay down his life so much as he refused the demands that were placed upon him to renounce his faith, and therefore said, in effect, I would rather have you take my life than to have me give up my faith in Christ, or give up my integrity by dishonoring the Lord and failing to own him. If the price for that is you're taking my life, then take it. I'd rather you do that than for me to betray my Savior. That's what happens in martyrdom, but that's not what happened on the cross. On the cross, Jesus laid down his life voluntarily. It was an act, a purposeful, deliberate act of giving up his life. He was not a martyr. He was a sacrifice, a voluntary sacrifice. He laid down his life for us. He was not either an example, primarily. He laid down his life for us, or in our place, in our stead. Again, sometimes you'll hear the death of Jesus Christ mischaracterized as an example of love primarily and ultimately and exclusively. Well, it certainly is an example of love, and our text is talking in those very terms. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, but it's more than an example. It is an example, but it's more than an example. Just like the demonstration of love is more than words, it is deeds. It is words. It's perfectly good to express those words, but that in itself is not enough. And to talk about Christ's laying down his life as an example of love is appropriate, but that's not enough. If you stop there, you have misrepresented what is really going on. He laid down his life. In other words, he made the ultimate sacrifice. Our life is indeed our greatest possession. Surely we understand that. Most people would not trade any possession for their life. When we sometimes hear that phrase, somebody's being robbed, and they say, your money or your life. Well, as much as we hate to part with our money, I don't think most of us would rather part with our life than with our money. And Christ laid down his life for us. Return again tomorrow. We'll talk about it some more. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.